Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Blair Nash, co-host Blair Nash, and welcome to Straight Talk. This is the first of many shows that we'll be having with my co-host, Ted Santos. Ted, are you there?
New family, thank you for joining us.
Are you there, Ted?
I am.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Ted, say hello to everyone for me, please.
Hello, everyone, and I want to thank all our friends and family for joining us on this, our debut. So thank you for joining us.
It's an auspicious occasion, I would assume, huh?
Absolutely. I'm sorry, say that again?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So I'd like, for our first show, one of the things that we'd like to do is, many of you already know me, and there may be some things about things I've done as a professional you don't know about. However, you may know nothing about Blair Nash. So, and the people who know Blair, you don't most likely know nothing about me. So we'd like to use this as sort of a getting to know, and we also would like to get to know the callers. So we'd like to tell you a little bit about us and what we're looking to accomplish and why we came up with this show. And before I even tell you about myself, Blair, I have to acknowledge you, because people probably have no idea what's going on behind the scenes to make this happen. You didn't know me from anywhere, and I contacted you on Facebook in the middle of July. And from the middle of July, in less than 3 months, we've made this happen. So it says a huge amount about you and your ability to come together and collaborate, because it took a lot of collaboration and effort on our part to make this happen. And it's an extremely short notice for you to actually do a joint venture with someone that you don't even know about. And we've never met. You live in Ohio and I live in New Jersey. So thank you, Blair.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, one of the things that I tell people all the time is Facebook is it's a totally different medium. You are connecting yourself with people who, like you said, you've never met, never would have met had it not been for this platform. So, and like you said, I mean, coming together and just kind of putting a show together, people have no idea of all the ins and outs and all the, I mean, Ted, I mean, think of all the literally hours of conversations that we've had just to kind of get to this point.
Exactly.
So,
right. Exactly.
I mean, this is kind of the beginning of a journey for you and I, but we put literally probably dozens of hours into it already and everything, just kind of getting some things together.
No question.
Kind of getting a synergy with one another, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you reached out to me, like you said, and, you know, I had a number of people that had been telling me for some time that they wanted me to get back in the radio and kind of talk about some of the different issues and problems and topics and everything. And, you know, I've done my three books and everything, and we'll get to that later. I'll explain all that later. But I was trying to look for kind of a, you know, almost like someone like you play jumper, kind of like looking for that right moment to kind of get back into it. And so this is as good a time as any. I wanted to, you know, allow, you know, what I've done and, you know, the books and everything else to, you know, to kind of have its, you know, have its day and everything. And so this was kind of the next step in the process. So, you know, for you to kind of, you say you tip it to me, I tip my hat to you, because, like you said, to kind of kickstart it and get it going when I know I should have been pushing it a little bit more is – I owe it to you, because, you know, I know radio's always been something that I've loved to do. So, you know, even more so than going on TV, I've just always loved it. Radio's been my thing. So,
wow.
You know, I just want to kick it to you. And, you know, just, if you can, just take some time. I mean, like you said, our audiences are not familiar with one another. So, you know, kind of tell my audiences and, you know, maybe remind some of your listeners a little bit about yourself, kind of how you got started, where you're from, you know, maybe some of the industry people that you know, worked with, et cetera. So go ahead.
Right. So I am. I've run companies, but my last 15 years has been focused on advising CEOs of middle market companies. And when I advise them, I'm advising them to do what you would call create disruptive strategy. So, you know, how does a company that is not in, let's say, technology in a mature industry create its own version of an iPad or an iPhone, something that would be a breakthrough for the company, maybe disruptive to their industry and most likely disruptive to the company. So when you're working with executives to create something that's going to be disruptive to the company, you also have to transform corporate culture. And so a lot of my work revolves around transforming culture, changing mindsets, and giving people tools to be able to navigate through uncertainty and new situations, or you can call new paradigms. And I didn't just arrive there. I mean, even before those years of advising people, I spent several years living outside the United States. In 2.5 years, I went through 8 countries. And, you know, I left the United States speaking English, and I returned speaking Spanish and Portuguese. A lot of people don't know my last name, Santos, is because my family came here to the States from Brazil, and they did a disservice by not teaching me Portuguese. However, I learned Portuguese from Spanish, which was easier. I also, you could say leadership, I developed myself as a leader. You could say I was thrown in the fire. I lost both parents at 21, and I'm the oldest of 4. My brother was 19, and sisters were 12 and 16. And that taught me a huge amount about leadership, coaching people up and delegating, and really being able to handle yourself and manage others through in the face of extreme chaos. So when I found myself in an executive management position in companies, I had this background of leading in chaos, so it made me very effective in leading corporations that were going through some sort of growth transition. Either they were growing too fast and they couldn't handle it, or they were severely underperforming. So I've had a lot of life experiences between travels and some unfortunate circumstances that benefited me in a huge way, and I've had a great professional experience in advising people. And one thing that I usually don't talk to people about is that when I was 9 years old, I had this desire to understand human beings, so I literally started researching people. And I would say that sort of researching and never stopping from the age of 9 has given me a huge benefit in understanding and leading people. And so you could say I'm coming full circle, because this part of what we wanted to do with this radio show is to have two guys sit down and design a platform for men to be able to talk about the challenges that men face. You know, for decades, women have had tons of platforms. You have Oprah and Ellen, and you have even these Maury Povich. And for decades, women have been able to talk about health and career and money and marriage and all the challenges they face as women, and men have become voiceless. So the commitment between Blair and I is that we would create a platform for men to actually really talk. And some of the things we want to address there, you could say there are some myths about men that are not true at all. Except the way it's portrayed and promoted in the media, there are things that we believe, and some of those myths are very damaging to relationships, and it makes it very hard for men and women to come together because they're dealing with one another with these presupposed beliefs. So when you talk about transformation, how do you get people out of a mindset that doesn't help them? So it doesn't matter if it's a corporation, a family, or an entire nation. My studies at 9 years old, believe it or not, was about women. I studied dating desires and sexuality and biology, and I had studied so much that, Blair, when I was a freshman in high school, we had a sex ed class, and they asked, who knows why women have a period? And none of the girls were allowed to ask. And I looked around, and the guys looked just puzzled. So I raised my hand, and I knew the correct answer. And a lot of guys came up to me afterwards and said, why did you know that? Like, why would you know what's going on with a woman's body? But I'd say that that's been my advantage in my personal and professional life, is to actually have a pretty good understanding of people. And in no way am I saying I have all the answers, but there are just some patterns that you can recognize, and I've developed methodologies and tools that help people break patterns that can, whether it's sabotaging a career, their relationships, or their upward mobility in a project, completing a project. So I'm going to stop right there, Blair, and I can, you know, I can elaborate later on, but I'm going to leave people with that.
Okay. All right. That's a whole lot. I'm sitting here like, you know, man, I need to get on the ball and do some stuff and everything, learn some languages, because, you know, I get people that are like, you know, wow, you've done a lot in the, you know, in your lifetime, but I'm like, you know, it just is what it is. But that's good stuff, man. There were some things in there I didn't even know myself. So, you know, as I told the, you know, the listeners, you know, this is kind of a learning process for all of us, really. And I'll just kind of, to kind of piggyback off of what you had said, I'll just kind of go back and then, you know, bring it all the way up to present day. You know, I've been someone who's been in a number of industries, and I mean a number of industries. Back when I was much younger, I was a funds manager for Nationwide Insurance. I did that for about 3 years total, but I worked for the company for about 5 years. I was a funds manager for them. Left there, went from there to getting into the recruiting industry, and did that for about 4 years. Was decently successful, but it's an industry where you kind of have to, you know, it's kind of a feast or famine. So, you know, when the feast is there, it's lovely, but when it, you know, when it slows up and, you know, people aren't hiring, it can be treacherous if you don't have something to fall back on.
Right.
I'm cool. I just want to check something out. I'm looking at something here on the system, but maybe it'll be fine. If something happens and the system goes and it kicks us off, I will do what I need to do and everything to get it back on. But so from there, it basically kicked off, and I went to work for, after I left the recruiting companies, I actually went to work for I went to do mortgages, actually. And I did mortgages for about 8 years until everything kind of fell apart back in 2013. And then all of a sudden, I was literally homeless, carless, womanless. You know, no nothing. All I literally had was two black trash bags. And so I was on a buddy of mine's couch and just kind of, you know, looking up like, wow, literally 3 years ago I was making six figures. You know, the year before that I made six figures. You know, then I went to, you know, 50,000, then I went to 20,000. Then I went to, you know, pretty much, you know, making nothing. So as I was sitting there talking to my friend and I was telling him, you know, kind of the situation and what was going on, it kind of was a scenario where I said to myself, you know, I don't really know what to do from here. And so he said to me, "Are you still there?"
I am.
Yes. Okay. Just want to make sure, because I heard some. He said to me something that was just so profound. And he said, "What would you do if you knew that you could just be phenomenal at it and you knew people would just pay you for it, et cetera, et cetera?" And so I said, well, I've always been someone who was very adept at having a lot of women tell me a lot of their pain, their stories, a lot of their problems that they were dealing with. And so he kind of just came to me and said, why don't you become somewhat of like a relationship guru? You know, kind of like, you know, he referenced the movie Hitch. And I just kind of laughed and chuckled, and I said, you know, my friend's name is Eric. He's somewhat of a kind of an advisor to me. He's been a very good friend for years. And I said, dude, I mean, you know my story, my history. I was like, I'm not who they want to hear. And he just looked at me so serious, and he said, Blair, you are exactly who they need to hear from. They need to hear from somebody who has reformed, changed their life, used to be out there, used to be a wolf out in these streets and everything, and has now become, you know, a very, a whole, an entirely different figure. So what I did was I started to kind of, you know, think about it and kind of put together a game plan. And for those of my followers who have been here for, you know, listening to me for a long time, you may remember that I had a, I initially had a podcast. It was called the Blair Nash Chronicles. And so what we did was we had a lot of discussions kind of similar to this one, but this one was going to be a little bit more button pushing. That was very safe. You know, we talked about very safe topics, et cetera. I did it for about 2 years, and it was, you know, pretty successful. The only challenge was, as I told you when we first started talking, Ted, was that I did not know the ins and outs of how to really do this. So the whole idea of being a podcast, I thought it was just, well, as long as you're popular, someone will come along and they'll scoop you right up. And I didn't realize that it's a little bit more of a tactic and strategy to it than that. So after that, and especially as I was doing it, and as my social media exposure started gaining. People kept saying, you should write a book, man. I mean, you have so much, you know, to tell people, and people listen to you, et cetera. And I said, no, man, I was a mortgage broker for a number of years, and I did funds. I was like, I'm not a book person. And so it just kind of really grew from there and just grew and grew. And then around 2014, I took about probably 10 months and just really focused, and then came my first book, which was called Eliminating the Battlefield. Very, very good numbers. Did very well. And so, you know, then I said to myself, you know, it's kind of like one of those moments where you're, you know, like, wow, this is what they want. I was like, I could do this all day long. This is nuts. So I said, okay. So everybody loved it. And, you know, they're like, man, we would love to have another one like that. So then I started to craft my second book. And so my second book came out in 2016. It was called Love is a Beautiful Thing, Till It Ain't, and that did very well. That did very good as well, and started doing a little bit of, you know, going on book tours and connecting with, you know, different individuals, wanted to have me speak, wanted me to come out and just talk to people about relationships, etc. So in the interim, what I started doing was, you know, I noticed a lot of people when I would go and, you know, speak with them at, you know, different events, they would just really have a lot of things that they were struggling with. You know, I talked to women and they were, you know, the such and such is happening and I'm having a challenge finding, you know, just finding good quality men. And, you know, I think I'm a good catch. I'm attractive and I'm, you know, successful in my career and on and on and on. But they were having trouble finding good quality mates. So, and this, I'm kind of stepping back a little bit. This goes back to 2013. So what I did was I said, let me craft a situation where I put together profiles of young single men and women, you know, black single men and women, and I called it Single of the Week. And so what I started doing was putting together information about just different folks, a few pictures, et cetera, et cetera. A number of people got together and became, you know, I mean, I can only think of one that was husband and wife, but a number of people got together and actually became couples off of it. So did that until about 2017. So it was very successful. People still ask me about it to this day. So going back to 2016, like I said, the book came out, and I was talking to a number of just different women across the country. And, you know, one of the things that they were just talking about was the dilemma of relationships, the struggle of dating, et cetera. And so I said, okay, all right, okay. So then in July of last year, 2017, I went and got my certification for it to be a life coach, so I could actually coach individuals and, you know, give them counsel, et cetera, et cetera. So that was another kind of branch on what I do. So, you know, now I'm, you know, an author, life coach, and I'm speaking and whatever. So that was that. You know, I love what I do. You know, I absolutely love what I do. The hard part about it is kind of taking yourself out of the situation and still giving very sage advice. And that's what I struggle to do. Not struggle to do, but that's the challenge in talking with, you know, different women about a lot of their, you know, their passions, their challenges, et cetera. So, you know, I just want to help out. I mean, I want to build relationships. I want to help people foster relationships. I'm also a person, and I tell people this very bluntly, I am also an individual who believes if the relationship has run its course, if you just see there, you know, you've exhausted all options, all other possibilities, I am a person that's very pro-good relationship. I am a believer that if a relationship is not working and you've done everything you could, it might, you know, sometimes it's okay to toss in the towel and say, this ain't working. That is okay. So as much as I'm about relationships and about building them, I'm also about positive, healthy relationships. So like I said, I started that in 2017, and that, you know, as far as the life coach piece of what I do. And so, you know, then, you know, of course I started hearing people was like, we would like another book. So then I started, okay, well, let me get together and put out another book. And then my most recent book came out about 5 months ago. It's called The Hidden Discussion, Black Money, Sex and Relationships, Hidden Conversation. I went back and forth between Hidden Discussion and Hidden Conversation. It's Hidden Conversation. Hidden Conversation, Black Money, Sex and Relationships. So that was a, you know, it kind of was a throwback to my first book in that it was very, you know, it was a very kind of in your face, I always call it a cold glass of water to in your face, you know, type of book. Whereas Love is a Beautiful Thing, that was more of a, here's some dating tips. Here's a way to kind of, you know, make sure you're, you know, in the market and doing what you need to do. This one was more of a, you know, of kind of a force. You know, there's a lot of things over the past couple of years that I've seen, a lot of things that I've witnessed, and I wanted it to be something that, you know, people could kind of, you know, take and look at and say, wow, this is a almost kind of a sign of the times. I mean, we're in this kind of thing that we call the gender wars right now, where black men and black women, you know, are just really, really not seeing eye to eye. You know, black women believe black men are the catalyst and cause for a lot of their pain and a lot of the reason why the communities in have the problem that it does. But, you know, black men kind of feel, you know, somewhat similar about black women. And so we're not really kind of addressing a lot of the issues and kind of really kind of stepping back and seeing things for what they are. Anyone that knows anything about me knows I call the community out all the time. I really, really do. But in addition to that, one of the things that I also do is I call out the external factors that affect us as well, meaning that, you know, you have to understand as far as the dominant society that there are a lot of outside forces that create lack of synergy that black people have with one another. And, you know, that's what this show is about. We're going to be talking about a lot of different a lot of the different challenges and problems that are there. They are there, and they're not going anywhere until we face them and we come together and say, you know, enough is enough, and we figure something out. So that's pretty much it.
Very good.
Did I talk good. Long enough for you, Ted? I don't want it to be.
No. No, that okay. we you said you would take a few minutes, and that's what we did exactly.
Right. Yeah, I don't want it to be something that's, you know, I don't want it to be something that's that long or anything. So yeah.
No, I think a couple of people may be challenged with finding the blog.
Okay.
I think that there may be a challenge with that for some people.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I'm here at the studio and looking at a thing as well, and I'm wondering what is happening. Wow. Okay.
So if they put straight talk, a lot of straight talk comes up, and if they put your name, your old shows come up.
Give me a minute.
There is one here for both of us. There's a show for both of us. It has both our names here. So.
Yeah. And I agree with your listeners. I mean, I'm wondering what's going on too, because I'm seeing something on my end that says that something's happening as well. So. More than just people are not able to log on.
Okay.
So, huh.
Is there some way we can direct them?
Say it again.
Is there some place we can direct them so that people can get to it?
Well,
Is there anyone on the line who's called in? Do you have any numbers on the line waiting?
Myself and you, which is odd,
okay.
Because I know a number of people have been interested and they were going to call in. For anyone that's listening, call into this number 323-642-1387. Again, 323-642-1387. So yeah, I don't know what's going on. So that's very weird.
There's the when you first go into Blog Talk, there's no icon for Straight Talk, and when you do a search for Straight Talk, there are a lot of different Straight Talks, so that's going to create confusion.
Hmm. Okay.
And there is. I'm getting text and Facebook message. Perhaps this is under your name instead of Straight Talk.
Say that again, Ted.
Is this under your name instead of under the Straight Talk name?
I'm not sure.
Did they have a place where you could put the icon up? We may have found the solution here. Yep, I found the solution.
What's up?
I found it in iTunes.
Okay.
Oh wait, this is an old show. 13. That's an old show from you with the attorney Kimay Jackson.
Kimay? Yeah. She was on one of my old shows.
Right. That's what's there.
So it seems as though, even though the show was created, I don't know. I mean, let me just hang up and make sure nobody's on the. For anyone that might be possibly listening, we apologize. We're having technical difficulties. We will try to log the show back on if we can. Thank you very much.